Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and I got my good buddy Lee McCormick on the phone now. Going to do an interview with Lee. For those of you that don't know, Lee runs a really popular mountain biking website at LeeLikesBikes.com, and he also wrote a book called Mastering Mountain Bike Skills, wrote it with Brian Lopes a few years back, and he's recently come out with an update to Mastering Mountain Bike Skills, as well as came out with a training book kind of in that vein for BMX riding. So I thought it'd be a good time to get Lee on the phone, kind of find out what's new with him and get a little inside info on the update and why it'd be a good thing for you guys to go out and pick up. So Lee, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, great, James. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Yeah, man, no problem. So what's new with you, man? I think since last time we talked, you're like married and got twins and wrote a couple books.
I'm just kind of sitting around counting stacks of money. You know, nothing going on.
Right.
I'm super busy. Yeah, the baby's just turned a year old, so that's a whole other level of pins, you know. I think only a father can really appreciate what that's really about.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, you're a guy, James, who does the business, has a family, and rips on the bike, and I feel like that's the impossible goal, though. You know, like that's the ultimate expression of badassness. I'm starting to feel like if you only have one job and you don't have a family, forgive me, but if you have one job and it's a good job and you don't have a family and you suck at mountain biking, I think you're probably going to suck forever. It's not your sport, man. Find something different, you know? And, you know, you look at guys like you, John Watt's a great example, who can do it all. He can show up and kick ass. You know, Steve Pete's got a family now. I think I respect him more than ever now that I have a baby. Oh, that's the end of my tirade. But yeah, things are busy and good. Got the books out. Lots of stuff going on with that and some other business stuff. And just trying to keep it pinned and trying to ride when I get a chance, you know?
Nice, man. So the main reason I had you on was because of the update to Mastering Mountain Bike Skills. And so when did the original come out? How long ago was that?
It was about 5 years ago.
Okay.
I think it came out in 2005 about. And the publisher, they're on a five-year cycle. So they basically just plan a book to exist for 5 years at a time. So yeah, the first one came out in 2005. They were really conservative. They had never done a book like this before, and it just exceeded their wildest expectations for sales. And I'm told that it's actually like the best-selling book in that division.
Nice.
You know? Pretty rad, and it's in seven languages, and super successful. You know, like I had the dream a long time ago. You and I've talked before about just taking my riding, you know, love and my professional skills and putting them together and trying to write the Bible, and I did it, you know, that's what people call it, and super successful. And so when that five-year cycle came around, the publisher definitely wanted to update the book and do a new version of it.
Okay.
So, you know, game on.
Go ahead, man.
I was in the middle of trying to finish the BMX book, and I would really want to get that thing done, but then the publisher had their ideas and their deadlines. They had to put the BMX book down and hammer out the mountain bike book. I actually did it pretty fast the second time around, and you know, got it done, and people were stoked. They like the publisher told me they had like their 1 year sales, you know, number. They wanted it for the whole year. I think they got that in like 2 months, so they're really happy.
Nice.
I wish that I made more money. You know, the fact is, like, if you go to Barnes & Noble and buy that book, I get, like, 50 cents. It's not a good way to get rich. And you guys can do the math. Spend 2 years on a book, sell 50,000 copies, and you get 50 cents a copy, you know. Fill in the numbers yourselves. Not the way to get rich, but I'm proud of it. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, man. I think you're a lot like me. I mean, we're not doing this to get rich, you know. I mean, we love mountain biking and we really love trying to help riders have more fun. And you know, if the money comes, then great. But you know, there's definitely other niches. You know, if we want to get rich, we just go after the fat loss market. But what's some of the new stuff in the book, man? If people have the original Mastering Mountain Bike Skills, you know, why would they want to go and get this new one?
Well, one thing is a lot bigger. It's got like 50 pages more in it. It's got a lot more content. And I think, like, the way I look at it is, you know, when I did the first book, you know, I was a top-level expert, you know, Cat 1. Pretty good rider. great. On hindsight, I wasn't very good at all. And then I just partnered with Brian Lopes, you know, and like I was the expert communicator. Brian's the world champion, you know, many times over. So I really kind of wrote the book from that perspective. But in the 5 years since the book came out, I've been coaching. You know what I mean? I've developed my, you know, James, you and I have worked together a little bit. I've developed my techniques for teaching, and I've got a pretty dialed in curriculum and a skills tree, and you know, it's all pretty dialed, and I've taught a lot of people hands on, you know, one on one, a lot of people of all styles, all levels. And so, like, coming into the next book, into this version of the book, I'm coming through as a much better writer, much more experienced writer, and I think really importantly, like, as one of the leading trainers, you know, skills coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who, and I've got a lot of experience teaching different people how to ride. So the first version was sort of like, hey, here's what you do. The second version's a lot more about, here's how you learn how to do stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's informed by my experience working hands-on with a lot of people. So I think that the second book, the new edition, is way more effective at actually taking you from where you are to where you want to be. So I think that's a big difference. And some of the other, like, just specifically for content, you know, when I wrote the first book, I was just learning about pump, and there's like a section on pump. But now I realize that pump is a philosophy of life, you know? It's like, it's a way of being on the bicycle. And pump informs the entire book. You know, it's everywhere. And like, there are examples in the book about, like, hey, if you're in rocks, here's how you pump rocks, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So that's huge. And also with my teaching, I realized that everything's about body position. It's all body position. It's all balance. It's all range of motion. That's everything. So that's in the book, like, infused throughout the book like crazy. In the racing sections, there's a section on Super D, which didn't really exist, you know, so much. 5 years, you know, 5 years ago, it wasn't such a big deal. Dual slalom is back, so it's in the book again. 24-hour racing. And the other thing is the one thing that was missing from the book, two things that were missing from the first book that people wanted were a glossary. So I got that. The word graph is in there. And also, there's a whole chapter on avoiding injuries.
Nice.
And I think that's kind of cool. Like, and it talks, just my experience riding with people, like, there's certain ways that people tend to crash, and they're all avoidable, dude. So it gets into kind of, you know, hey, here are the main ways people crash. Here's how you can avoid these situations. If you're going to crash, here's what you can do. So I feel like it's just a better thing. You know, I think it's a lot more informative, and a lot more pictures of me in this book than the first one, too.
Ah, nice, man.
I think that's great.
Awesome, man. That sounds great. That's definitely worth picking up the new version for that new content there.
I mean, for $24, dude. I mean, it's true, like, the cheapest, best upgrade in the world, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. No, I mean, I highly recommend your book. I mean, people heard me, you know, talk about it and mention it a couple times on my blog, and you know, there's nothing else like it out there, you know, and so, I mean, if you're serious about riding and you're serious about understanding, you know, what it takes to be a good rider, then there's no reason not to invest in it. I mean, shoots, man, it cracks me up when people say they can't afford stuff. It's like, come on, man, we're in a sport where a chain costs freaking $30, you know? I mean, you can't even get a tube for less than $10 sometimes. So, I mean, you know.
I don't want to hear it, you know, like, I'm involved with the high school mountain bike, you know, league, and there are parents who are complaining about race fees, and you look, and the kid's on a freaking S-Works bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
$5 race bike, and then they're driving out in a nice car, they're staying in a nice hotel, and they can't kick in, you know, a race fee.
Yeah.
To help pay for insurance and stuff.
It's
funny. People are funny about their bike expenditures.
People are funny that way, man, but
you know, if someone out there buys the book, and then I'll learn from it, and then I'll think it's cool. I mean, shoot, man, send it back to me, you know?
Leo, buy it back.
I guarantee that. I mean, there's no way.
No, there's no way.
You're
not
going to learn something.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. For $24, that's just, kind of a no-brainer for people. So,
and the format, too, it fits on the back of the toilet. Perfect. it's heavy, so it stays there. It's got like a lightly coated paper, so if it gets wet, you're all right. You know, just leave it in your bathroom, dude.
There you go, man. Yeah, every time
but
you're
I
in
think
there.
the main places it gets read are on people's toilets. You read one chapter per session, and shuttle trucks. And I know I get from a lot of people who will read like one section on the way up the hill and then think about that on the next run.
And try to fly it. Nice, man. Well, how about you personally, man? I mean, what's some of the biggest things that you've personally learned in the last 5 years since writing the original book? You know, kind of how's that changed your writing, and you know, how's that kind of influenced what you you know, what you did with the book?
I mean, that's a huge question, dude. Like, it's funny to think back because, you know, in 05, I guess 04, I was taking myself pretty seriously as a racer, and I was doing stuff, and the top ranked cat one in my age group or whatever, which is no big deal compared to being pro. But for me, it was a big deal, you know? And on hindsight, like I think about it all the time. I did not know how to ride a bike. I didn't even know what pump was. And I think one of the biggest, I mean, everything's big, but knowing the importance of body position and range of motion and how that forms everything is huge. That's what keeps you centered. That's what makes every day on the bike a good day, as opposed to having a good day one day and a crappy day the next day. If you just kind of go through your checklist and have a good position, most days are good. That's a big deal. That's what allows me to kind of ride any bike I want and ride it pretty confidently. And the other big like philosophical shift is pump. And I can't overstress like how important it is to actually ride the bike, to use the terrain, you know, to... There are moments when you just mirror, you kind of mimic the terrain shape. There are moments when you tweak it to do what you want, you know, but I think just being an active participant and riding with the right amount of aggression is huge, absolutely huge. And I wish I could go back to, like, North Star and Tahoe and race again, or go back out to, you know, race West Virginia or Vermont or any of those places where I struggled back in the day. I think it would be a whole different adventure now.
Nice, man. So, with the pump thing, it's kind of funny because I have to admit that's one of the things that I've definitely you know, gotten better at over the years since you know, we first met. You know, obviously your pump track book and you know, the Pump Track Nation thing you got going on over at your website was kind of an influence in me you know, getting into that and learning how to do that. But yeah, you're right, man. That totally changes the trail. It's funny because I have this philosophy now. The idea is to figure out how to go faster and pedal less, you know, and that's where that pump comes in. When you get that, you actually have to pedal way less than you usually do, but you're going faster. It's funny how that works. So
I was doing, like, a few years ago, I was modeling for this video for Shimano, right? It was a Shimano XTR video using for training. And so, like, well, first of all, I thought it was super rad and badass because they asked me. But it turns out they chose me because I looked like a chump. But they said, yeah, Lee, so, you know, there's three kinds of riders. There's, like, the super badass, awesome riders. And there's the really crappy riders. And there's those guys who, like, you know, maybe they don't ride that much. They've got some money and they aspire to be good riders. Like, and they're like, yeah, that's you. You know, so it's like typecast as that guy. And it was funny because I was having fun riding the bike, ripping on it, and they kept telling me to slow down, which is funny. But one of the things that cracked me up was, and I heard the same story from Mark Weir after he built his pump truck. We're out shooting video, and the guy's like, dude, you can pedal. This is a video for Shimano XTR. You haven't pedaled all day. Please, throw in a crank, you know? I was like, oh, my God, you know? Shit. Like, I used to always pedal. I used to always hit my pedals on the rocks and... But now, yeah, like you say, I mean, in interesting situations, I think the primary mode of propulsion is pump, you know, and then pedaling is good for a little extra speed, a little extra energy here and there, of course, to get up hills.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, man. Pump tracks and stuff like that are definitely starting to get a lot more popular. In fact, we just got a new bike park built out here at the local trails here in Grand Junction, and there was a big pump track as part of that, which you know, is pretty exciting. You know, I'm telling all the riders that I train at my facility, like, man, we need to get out there and get you guys on that pump track, because, you know, that'll totally change your riding when you figure out how to you know, flow and pump and stuff like that. So so that's
I saw pictures of that. It looked really, really cool. It's crazy. I mean, that's another big thing that's happened in the past 5 years, is the whole the entire pump track nation. I mean, it went from maybe a handful of tracks here and there. Now there's thousands of tracks, you know, and thousands of people have used, you know, the Pump Welcome to Pump Track Nation ebook that you get on my site. A bunch of people are doing that their own way. That's awesome. Either way, it's cool. Right now, I'm talking to like 3 or 4 cities about building tracks and parks for them. And it's just crazy. It's like we are right now where skate parks were a little while ago.
Yeah.
You know, pump tracks are cheap, they're safe, and, you know, for us as athletes and riders, it's, you know, I can't think of a better way to train skill.
No, yeah, they're
space. That's it.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, for the beginner, just learning how to do it, and even if you're good, man, going out and running, you know, laps on the pump track will really work your, you know, specific trail endurance, I feel, better than going out on a, you know, pedaling on the road will, you know, so... Well, hey man, kind of touching on that, your you know, your website, man, it continues to be a great resource for riders all around the world for, you know, all things mountain biking. You know, what are some of the common questions that you're getting these days, and you know, what do you tell them, kind of what's on the mind of the collective mountain biking consciousness?
It's actually changed on my site quite a bit over the years. I feel like, well, you always get the stupid emails about should I get this bike or that bike. And I can't really answer all those emails, so I just tell everybody to buy a Specialized Stump Jumper. pretty safe choice, you know. You're not gonna go wrong. It's funny. Like I used to get a lot of comments about like basic position control issues. And answered them over and over and over again. I'm not getting so many of those. So I hope like mountain bikers as a race are starting to get a little smarter with that. But I'm starting to get more intricate questions, you know, about well, how do I ride this, you know, V, you know, dip in the ground, or you know, what's this deal with foot out pedaling versus foot up, or like, you know, like more nuanced stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess since the questions are all different, I get different answers. But like, the big thing is, I think, people are trying to learn how to do more advanced stuff on their bikes. I think as a crew, as a, you know, sport, we're all getting a lot better. And the bikes are better. The terrain is more interesting. And my big meta message, I think, is like, well, first, this is in my teaching too. And, you know, I'm the skills director for the National Mountain Bike Association for high schools. Same message for those guys. It's like, all right, like, whatever it is you're doing, whatever kind of bike you ride, first of all, find a good neutral position and be consistent with it. That's your safe spot. From there, expand your range of motion as much as you can in every dimension, forward, backward, up, down, side to side, and twisting, rotating rather. And then you can start to use those movements specifically, you know what I mean, to achieve different things. So as an example, most cornering, I say, you know, stay on your feet or your foot, no weight on the bars, set the edges, let the bike do its thing, right? But then there are definitely situations, maybe it's looser or off camper, where you have to really drive weight into the front of the bike. And for a while there, I was getting a lot of questions about this. So in that situation, it absolutely makes sense to just bring your center mass forward. I mean, look at Sam Hill in a lot of corners, or motocross guys. It's a very similar concept, where you're just driving more weight onto the front of the bike and creating more front interaction. But like, my big thing is, like, don't be doing that until you know how to set edges from the middle of the bike. You know what I'm saying, James?
Yeah, definitely.
If you don't know how to be balanced, if you don't know how to let the steering column react on its own and, you know, naturally, you're going to end up, you know, knifing in turns and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So I think that's my big message to everybody. It's just like, let's all be centered, expand our range of motion, and then let's add some intention. You know, move with intention, and then finally add some power to it, which is where pumping, you know, really starts to come alive.
Yeah. Just kind of master the basics, and then you can worry about some of those finer nuanced things. Yeah, it's funny now that I've gotten into doing a little skills coaching, because it kind of ties into what I do at the facility and stuff like that. And I see it all the time too. It's like you show somebody basic body position, and they got it down for like, you know, a minute, and then they're like, "All right, let's move on to cornering. I want to learn how to manual." And it's like, man, you don't understand your body position yet. Like, you can do it while rolling around in a parking lot for a minute, but I guarantee you, once you get out on the trail again, everything's going to change. So, you know, really, really concentrating on that body position first and foremost is like you said, man, that's pretty much everything. So, yeah, man, that's awesome. So, real quick too, man, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you had done some work on a BMX book. So, you know, BMX is kind of a, you know, people that ride mountain bikes kind of cross over into that a little bit. And there's definitely some things to learn from them. So, you know, what's the BMX book about? You know, what are some of the lessons that you learned from dealing with the BMX crew that you think were applicable for mountain bikers, and you know, who you think this book is good for?
Awesome, dude. Well, you know, I decided I wanted, before the last Olympics, to finish this book. I wanted to come out with the definitive Bible on BMX racing, you know? And I failed to do it fast enough, but it is done. And in this case, I just went out, and I'm good friends with a guy named Chris Powell. Some of you guys might know him. He's a pro BMXer and mountain biker. Known him forever. So I kind of floated the idea past Chris, and he got me in touch. He helped me get contact with a bunch of the top BMX people. And most of them think mountain bikers are nerds, you know? So you can't be like, hey, yeah, man, you know, hey, Greg Romero, or hey, Donnie Robinson, I'm a good mountain biker. You want to talk to me? Like, most of them think you're a nerd instantly. So having Chris's backing really helped me out a lot. And he basically hooked me up with, you know, Greg Romero. He's the coach who got the Olympic medals for Mike Day and Jill Kittner and some other top riders. And I basically, you know, structured it all out. And I went out and I spent time with everybody at the track, spent time at the Olympic Training Center, which was amazing, and wrote the book, you know. And it's the same, it's sort of a similar approach to mastering mountain bike skills, where it's super detailed and it gets into, you know, the progression. Number one, you know, how to figure out which bike you need, how to set it up, body position, cornering, braking, all that stuff. And then it just builds up until near the end. There's just like pages and pages and pages. There's sequences of common BMX obstacles. So you'd have, like, say, a camel hump, and you'd have these top pros riding it all different ways, and it's a sequence. You know, there's sequences, and it just talks about, like, the merits of, like, oh, if you're going really fast and this is going on, try this. If this happens, try that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's rad, and you can just obsess over the details of how these guys ride their bikes. So, and people already, it's only been out for a couple months. People already say it's the Bible for BMX. So I feel really good about it. But you asked me what I learned from those guys.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, cause obviously, like, four cross racing, you know, for mountain bikers, you know, they'd be able to apply some of that stuff pretty directly, but I'd have to imagine that there's some stuff that, you know, even your average mountain biker can pick up from the lessons you learned. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, like you said, you know, if you're racing gated racing, it's directly applicable. That book has the best, most rad analysis of gate star technique ever published. So if you want to improve your gait, get the book. That's worth 20, you know, $9 right there. But, you know, I learned a lot just as a rider. And some things that I specifically learned that have improved my riding immensely, and not just on the downhill, on the climbs too, are: first one is pedaling technique and learning how, and a lot of it ties to what you do, you know, James, is learning the triple extension of your knee, ankle, and hip, learning to pedal with an extended upright body and really lay power into the bike. You know, like, those guys make a living off, like, the first five strokes off the gate. You know, that's their life, you know? And so, like, Greg Romero, Coach Greg, is a master of identifying the components of that and making you more powerful, you know? So I learned a lot about that. And, you know, I spent a lot of time climbing my road bike around my neighborhood. And I know you think road bikes suck, but, you know, if you live at the top of a 2.4-mile road climb, then road bike's the tool of choice, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I just don't think they're a good – I don't think they're a good training tool for mountain biking, but I don't have anything against road bikes. If you want to ride one, you know, if you want to battle –
It's actually made me much better on the mountain bike. I think I'd be better off if I could ride trail every day, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know? But when it comes time to sit down and pedal or pedal up an easy, you know, surface, my road bike definitely helps. But so learning, you know, knowing how to pedal more effectively was huge. And the other big thing with those guys, James, is it's a whole other level of pumping. like I've always perceived that like a good mountain bike rider is pretty smooth. You know what I'm saying? Like we're all pretty smooth riders and we know how to use the terrain. But like riding with like especially Danny C, he's in the book, he's one of the top ABA pros. That guy's on a 20, he's clipped in, homeboy probably weighs 150, and I think he's squatting and deadlifting into the 400s. He's a strong guy, you know? Incredibly powerful guy. And watching those guys, like, but they take, okay, here's the thing. Like, you know how James, like, a good mountain bike rider just seems smooth?
Yeah.
On, like, rocks and stuff, and they're just smooth. It's quiet, it's smooth.
Yeah.
Well, those guys, because I think because the terrain's different, those guys aren't quiet. They're really noisy, and they're really violent if you get down to it. Like if Danny, you know, is like doing a hook, you know, a hook, if he's hooking, like, a little roller into a step up, and he wants to pump that roller, maybe a good mountain biker would be like, zoom, you know, that would be like the sound of the tires. When he does it, it's like, crack! He hits it so hard. It's so violent. It's so powerful. And he'll let himself fly through the air into what looks like an impossibly crazy endo with his belly button on the handlebar cross pad and just pound the front wheel in with his upper body. You know what I mean? And it looks super violent, but it's really smooth. And it's even faster than, like, what a good mountain biker would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, like, I feel like those guys are taking pump to the next level. And, like, you know what's funny? In the first edition of the book, I kind of laid out, like, three levels of rider. You know, like, level one being really afraid and stiff. Level two being, you know, kind of willing to hold on to the bike and let the bike do what it wants to do. And level three, at the time, was the ultimate, where you're starting to learn to pump and use the terrain, right? I remember, James, at the time, I was becoming a level three rider. And I thought to myself, you know, dude, you know there's more to it. You just don't know what it is yet. You can't see that far. But when I met those BMX guys, I saw level three plus. Like, I saw what happens when you just take the shape and you use it as a suggestion. And those guys lay so much power into their bikes. It'll blow your mind. And so that was a big thing for me. So just riding all the trails I've ridden a million times, I found myself working the front of the bike a lot harder and going faster. Straight up. Huge. Huge difference for me.
Nice. So just get more aggressive. Sounds like they're definitely more aggressive with how they, you know, approach riding. And so it sounds like kind of that aggressive nature rubbed off on you a little bit and yep, kind of helped with your trail riding and stuff like that.
Totally, dude. Totally. And I think you're right. They're aggressive at a different level. I think just the nature of that terrain and how peaky it is and how little the wheels are, like everything they do is quicker than them. Every movement they make has to be quicker. And I also, as part of this adventure, I had to learn how to ride a 20. Ride a 20 on a pump track, basic stuff, makes you able to move quicker. Better rider for it.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Yeah. And just real quick before the cross country crew starts tuning us out, you know, aggressive riding, you know, obviously is kind of, you know, relative to your sport. But I think this is one of the things that people, you know, I know, like me personally, I get pegged as like this downhill race coach, because as soon as you start talking about being aggressive with the trail, people automatically start hearing gravity racing and stuff like that. When, you know, as you know, as Lee and I are talking about here, that's not the case. You know,
that's an important point, James. And I think that maybe aggressive isn't the word I need. I think maybe a better word is intentional. And aggressive doesn't mean let go of the brakes, hold on, and be crazy.
No, no.
At all. Like, I'm not crazy. I'm never crazy. I'm not, no way, Jose. You know, but like when I say aggressive, I mean riding with true intention. Like, and I think on the, I do my best to ride my road bike with true intention. If it's time for me to stand up and get over a steep rise, I'm going to get over that steep rise, you know? If it's time for me to initiate a turn, I'm going to initiate the turn. I'm not going to apologize into a corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I'm on a trail ride, you know what I'm saying? And I got a long climb and maybe it's technical, like, when I say being aggressive, I mean being intentional. Like, I'm not going to sit my flabby ass on a seat and just try to pedal and let the bike bash into shit. That's stupid. You know, it's a waste of energy. It's also not that good on my prostate, right? So I'm 40, almost 42 now. So, like when I ride aggressively or with intention, I'm talking about, like, I got a long technical climb. I am going to be smooth the whole way. I'm going to match my body position to the terrain. That means if the terrain gets steep, I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stay balanced over my bottom bracket. I'm going to ride with a level of intention and aggression. And I got some guys I saw with who are very strong roadies who can outclimb me any day.
All right. Well, after that awkward pause, I lost Lee there for a second. Little fuzzy cell phone coverage. So, but we got
actually. I had to get down and do some burpees. I was feeling antsy.
Feeling antsy, right on, man. Yeah, doing some burpees.
I just hung up and did 10 sets of 10 burpees. I'm good to go now. I feel better.
Nice, bro. Nice. So what we were talking about, kind of riding with intention, you know, kind of how that relates to, you know, when we say riding, you know, aggressive, you know, riding with intention, and kind of how some of that stuff translates over to, you know, the cross country crew and your average trail rider a little bit more, and you're, you know, mentioning, you got a group of guys that you ride with that can, well, I kind of, that's when you started cutting out on me, man. So
yeah,
where
well,
were you?
I started thinking about riding, and I was like, damn it. I gotta move, so I hung up on James. Did my burpees. By the way, James, like, I don't think you might not approve of this because it's not part of a structured training program. But when I am feeling antsy and I'm having a bad day or a bad moment, 10 sets of 10 burpees on 1 minute intervals definitely fixes me.
Oh hell yeah, man! No, that's good.
I got no hate left in my body, and I just upgraded to 10 sets of 11.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got no happy. I'm a happier guy to be around after that.
Nice, dude. As long as you're not doing 10 sets of 10 of, like, tricep extensions, we're all right.
Oh, well, no. Well, I also have a preacher curl bench sitting here in my office, and I, right. But I would need, like, one of those convex mirrors that magnifies the biceps so I could see what I'm doing.
Curls for the girls, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, just kind of touch.
Running with intention. Like, so when I talk about, so we're talking about the BMX guys. And when watching those guys ride, I saw a whole new level, and I used the word aggression, in the way they ride, where, like, I think a good rider will take, like, a section and absorb it and pump it and be smooth, and it'll be quiet, and it'll be nice, it'll be dainty and pretty, right? And that's what I've been preaching. And to me, at that time, that was the highest level of mastery. But working with these guys, I see a whole other level of power being laid into the bike. Instead of saying aggression, I'll say intention. Those guys, rather than just extending into a backside, they will crush the backside. And I'll never forget, I'm out there at Bellflower BMX with top ABA champion, ABA national champion, and we're doing like this little step up different ways. You know, I go, hey, Danny, hit it this way, hit it that way, hit it that way, and I'm shooting the sequences for the book, and I finally say, all right, dude, well, If you were in a race and you wanted to hit this at your own speed, what would you do? And he says, well, I'd come sprinting out of that, you know, berm back there, and he would basically, like, do a manual to hook. Like, he rocks, so he does it. He's going, like, you know, 25 miles an hour on this 20-inch bike, right? He picks up from way back, hops over the front of, like, a 4-foot-tall, you know, face. And on the back of that, before the step-up part, is maybe a little backside, maybe 6 inches tall. It was a tiny target, right? And he hops, and he's flying over this thing. And in an instant, he just goes, crush! And it just went crack! And he slammed his rear tire into that pocket. Like, I've never heard something that violent. And I looked at the tape, and I could see how fast he was going. It gave him a significant boost of speed. And it was completely loud, it was completely violent, completely powerful, right? And absolutely perfectly smooth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's the next level. So when I talk about riding with intention, that's one kind of intention. You know, I think if you're out riding your road bike or your cross-country bike and you're climbing, climb with intention. Make sure you're executing solid, good pedaling technique. If you need to burst the speed, do it right. You know, get out of the saddle, line up your skeleton, you know, apply power. By the way, if you want to learn how to do that, get James's, you know, dumbbell combo program, and I'll teach you how to do it, right?
Thanks. Your check's in the mail for that plug, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, just the single-legged deadlift changed my life in a big way. You know, if you want to turn, if you're doing whatever it is you're doing on your bike, do it with intention. Now, it might be at 5 miles an hour, it might be at 50 miles an hour, but wherever you are on your bike, whatever kind of a rider you are, ride with intention. I think that's a big, important message. And also, by the way, it's more fun, it's more satisfying. So there you go.
Yeah, it is more fun. You know, I think that's something that that you and I both, you know, agree on, that, you know, when we go out to the trail and we're riding, and, you know, it's not that, you know, when we're saying this stuff, like, I understand that people have fun riding their bike, you know, so like when people hear this and they're like, well, I have fun already. And it's like, you know, there's levels of fun that you don't even know exist yet. And
yeah,
so,
well said.
You know, as I'm out on the trail and I'm seeing people just sitting and spinning, through the same section that I'm like standing up and attacking and pumping and, you know, catching a little air off of this rock. And it's like, I know that I'm having way more fun than the person who just sits and spins, even though the person who's sitting and spinning is still having fun. So, you know, I think one of the things that Lee and I really, you know, really try to preach and get people to understand is that no matter how much fun you're currently having riding your bike, there's levels of fun that you haven't even been able to tap into because you don't have, you know, from my end, the mobility and the strength and the fitness, you know, from Lee's end, the skills to apply those things. But, you know, once you get those things lined up and grooving, you know, it takes your riding to a whole nother level, so to speak, that 3+ that Lee's talking about, where the trail is like, you know, your playground and you're able to do what you want with it. And so, so yeah, man, no, that, you know, it's funny. He's sitting here talking. He's getting me all fired up to go ride my bike, but I can't go ride because I got a broken thumb and it's raining. So thanks a lot, buddy. I'm going to have to do some burpees.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, you know, I'm going to send you a training program you can do in your own home with just a dumbbell.
Nice.
Or a kettlebell. I'll send that to you, buddy.
Got it off the internet and rebranded it, and now you're selling it. So nice.
Yeah, I can help you out. I got some ideas.
Cool, man.
It's funny. Yeah, it's just really interesting. And I think, I mean, like, actually the book, my book, has like a chapter on flow, right? And when I say flow, I mean capital F. And you guys recognize these moments. These are the times in your life when time slows down, when everything's perfect. Those are those moments that make you want to quit your job and just ride your bike all the time. Or, you know, quit your job and surf all the time, you know? And I think ultimately that's what we're all after. And the thing about flow is it happens where, like, the skills or the demands of the situation intersect with your abilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're out and you're not going very fast as you can, if it's a mellow trail, you might be kind of bored and you're under aroused, right? If you try to go ride with James, he's like, dude, let's go ride the lunch loop, and you try to hold his wheel, chances are that's probably a bit much for you, for most people, and you're gonna be stressed out. Neither of those is ideal. What we want is like you to be right there, right on the edge of your capabilities. You know, and of course, that's where it's the most fun, and it's the most satisfying, and that's what we pay the money for the bikes and stuff. And that target changes. You know, the things that I thought were amazing and rad, and oh my God, I want to quit my job. Well, no, I did quit my job, actually. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, are very different from today. Today, I'm going faster, I'm riding crazier terrain, smoother, you know what I mean? It's a constant moving target, and I think one of the things that would allow any rider, no matter where you are in your level or your style or your preferences, you know, for a lot of years there, I had a chance to ride downhill all the time. I don't have that opportunity anymore. So like now I've really embraced pedaling as a skill. I spend some time on the road, but I try to use it effectively, right? But I think no matter what kind of rider you are, wherever you are, what your goals are, is cultivating the ability and the willingness to learn new stuff. That makes sense, James?
Totally, man. Totally. It totally makes sense, man. I'm totally on board with that. I think so many riders kind of fall into the habit of riding the same trail in the same way over and over and over again, and not really, you know, looking for ways, understanding that you can progress yourself. And I think that's you know, kind of what you and I are trying to help riders understand, is that you can, because, you know, I turned 34, I'm going to turn 35 here in December, and I absolutely guarantee you I'm a way better rider now than I was 5 years ago. And sure. You know, and so
more fun.
And more fun, exactly. But, you know, for the riders out there that are listening to this, and you know, if you don't feel that in the last 5 years that you've progressed immensely, or even worse, you feel like your skills and your fitness are actually taking a step back, you know, the message is that you can take those things back. You can, you know, progress and become a better rider year after year, you know, if you understand some of these things that, you know, like you'll learn in Lee's book about how to, you know, execute technical skills properly, and, you know, the stuff as far as like strength and cardio that I try to teach people. But, you know, there's no reason that every year you can't be a better rider than you were the year before. And if that's not the case, then, you know, you're missing out on opportunities to experience more fun. So,
And chances are, if you're not feeling that improvement and that stoke, you're probably not going to stay mountain biking very long.
One
of the ideas behind the BMX book, you know, after talking to Coach G, you know, like top level, he's like the James Wilson, but of BMX, you know, and is that the average BMX racer is only in the sport for 3 years. And I think what a lot of times what happens is people come in, it's fun. Maybe you win if you're a racer, but you have fun, it's cool. And then you kind of progress. And then you hit the ceiling of, like, how mobile are you? That's James's world. How strong are you? That's James's world. How skilled are you? That's my world more, right?
Yep.
And I think, like, we're all going to hit that plateau at some point. And if you don't know how to kind of progress through that, or switch gears, and you know what I mean, then you're gonna start losing that stoke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're gonna start losing that friggin' stoke. Like, I had a ride last Monday. I was in NorCal all weekend teaching, taught 52 coaches, high school coaches, how to teach their kids. Totally intense weekend, gnarly. Monday morning, I got to go to Santa Cruz and ride with my good friend Curtis Keene. You know, I'm one of the top downhill guys in the world, right? And he's a fast dude, and he's a great guy, and I love riding with him because with Curtis, he's a very good friend of mine, and I trust that guy. You know what I mean? So after Armageddon, I'm going to find out where Curtis is, and we're going to take over. That's the policy here, right? And so, like, I was able to be, you know, I talk about that flow state, that perfect mindset. I'm with my buddy Curtis. I'm with my buddy Jim Norman, who works at Fox, who I've ridden with forever. And we're riding, and we get out there, and it's like, Jim Curtis is like, okay, dude, there's this new trail. Trust me. All right. And I just follow Curtis, and I'm going so fast. I don't want to think about detail because all I've been doing is teaching detail. So Curtis takes me up to a speed where there's no time to think about detail. There's no time to think about all the burpees I've been doing and my single-legged deadlifts and my hip mobility and leaning the bike and loading the bike and my fore-aft weight distribution and all that crap. You know, all I can do is execute. You know what I mean, James?
Oh, yeah.
We're pinning it, and it feels so damn good. And I have a completely spiritual, awesome peak experience. And that's because that ride was right in that sweet spot between, like, holy crap, this is too fast, and now this is kind of boring. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And so I forget why I'm saying this, but basically, as long as people can access – oh, this is the thing. So in order for me to access – I've been riding bikes long enough, you know, I've been at this for 20 years. For me to achieve that state and be really stoked, I have to go pretty fast. You know what I mean? Or it has to be a different situation, or I have to be on a 20-inch bike, or there's something has to be going on to push me to that level of flow. Does that make sense, dude?
Oh, yeah.
And so here's the thing. Like, I'm 42. I work 12 hours a day every single day. If I can't somehow figure out a way to maintain mobility, maintain fitness, and maintain skill, there's no way I can get to Santa Cruz once every 2 years and ride at that level. And so I think that if people can kind of cultivate the learner's mindset and be willing to kind of learn new stuff, you know, work on their mobility, work on their fitness, a la James Wilson, you know, work on their skills, kung fu, a la Lee McCormack, it's what that does for you is it's fun in the moment and it's a rad use of time, but what it does for you long-term is it gives you the tools to always love mountain biking. Always friggin' love it. and you might go through a phase where you can't ride downhill anymore because you got babies or something, but maybe you're just going to become a pump track world champion for a while. That's cool, you know? But you know what I'm getting at, man? Like, it's, I think that's a key thing, is like being willing and able to work on your mobility, strength, skills.
Yeah. Seek me.
End of speech.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, man. I think we're definitely getting our point across. You know, look, you know, seek new challenges, but not only that, but like understand that you need to, you know, have a plan in place for either when you hit a plateau or when your priorities change. And, you know, a lot of people become head cases with riding when all of a sudden they hit this spot. And, you know, I mean, it's I'm personally seeing it with a couple of my riding buddies right now, where they don't know why things aren't working like they used to, and they're starting to lose a little bit of their stoke for riding, which is really frustrating for me to see. You know, so seeing it firsthand, I definitely know what you're talking about, where if you're not, you know, if you're not seeking new challenges and you don't know how to progress when you hit a plateau, that, you know, you're not going to be a mountain biker for very long. So,
you're going to move on.
Yeah. And
one thing I think that's interesting, like I've become a roadie kind of de facto, you know, because of my schedule and where I live and stuff, but at least I live in the mountains. So road riding around here is pretty rad actually. But, And you know, a lot of times I'll be working these long hours. Maybe I only get like 2-3 hours of sleep. I feel horrible, you know, but I want to ride. And I don't have the wherewithal to ride the mountain bike or ride some of the trails around here, so I'd ride the road. And what I feel like is that, like, even if I feel totally horrible and I'm so tired and dizzy I can't see straight, I can always get on my bike and just pedal as hard as I can and feel good about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of us, who aren't in tune with flowing and pumping and really riding with a capital R, our source of satisfaction is from pinning the pedaling. And I think that's great. I think that's a great place to be. But I think it's easy to get burned out on that.
Yeah.
And your body can't withstand a whole lot of that over time, especially if you're older. And I think you're going to end up kind of burning yourself out. So I guess it comes back to the whole deal of, like, you know, if you were in a situation where all you can do is ride the road, like, I think, hell yeah, embrace that. Learn to ride the road as well as you can. Learn to pedal as well as you can. When you get on trail, apply a clean pedal stroke to your trail climbing if you can, you know, and mix it up, you know. And like James is saying a lot, we're both fans of flat pedals. If you're bored, if you think your trails suck, okay, number one, I hear people in Boulder say it all the time. Pro DH people, oh, these trails suck. I'm like, go faster, dude. It doesn't suck anymore, does it? You know, it's just like, if you're bored, if you think whatever sucks, go faster. It'll change. Or, you know, change your focus, man. Get more mobile. Get more skilled. Try riding flat paddles. That'll change everything.
Yep. Yeah, man. Well, cool, bro. I think, see, we're closing in on, been chatting here for almost an hour, so don't want to take up too much more of your time. So anything else you kind of want to add in before we wrap this up?
Oh, man. Well, I guess I'll just say quickly, I'm really pretty excited. You know, like, when I started the coaching and the books and stuff, I really kind of hoped to create, you know, get the knowledge out there and help to improve the level of riding for everybody. And I feel like it's really happening. And with the books and with the coaching, especially with being the skills development director for the National High School, you know, Mountain Bike Association, that's a big deal too. And I'm just excited because I can see in my life, I can see in the lives of my clients and everybody and the internet people, how just increasing, again, dude, mobility, fitness, skill. You know, and from those things come confidence, and you're ripping, you're having fun.
Yeah, man. Excellent. Well, cool. Well, just to wrap up, man, where can people find these books we've been talking about? You know, where can they find out more about you if somebody wanted to do a skills clinic with you or something like that? Where is Lee McCormack found, and where can they get your stuff, man?
Well, thanks, dude. My main internet location is my website, which is LeeLikesBikes.com. And that's all there. You can email me on the site. The books are on the site. There are various kinds of kung fu on the site. And I encourage you to check it out if you haven't already. And go do some single-legged deadlifts and We'll talk.
Nice, buddy. Nice. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, that site is pinned to 11. It says so right there on the site.
It says
so.
It, the dial is pinned to 11. Absolutely.
Pinned to 11, bro. It's funny. I say that to people and they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, I guess you'd have to know Lee and his site to understand it. So.
Yeah, you have to be old enough to have seen the movie Spine. This is Spinal Tap.
There you go. Well, cool, Lee. Well, yeah. Well, that's about it. So, you know, appreciate you taking the time to join me on this podcast. And, you know, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com. And like Lee said, you guys can find out more about him at LeeLikesBikes.com. And I guess that's it, Lee. So I guess we'll say goodbye and go on about our day.
Right on, brother. You take care.
I will, man. I will talk to you later.
All right, man. Bye-bye.